time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 339 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week we have another doubleheader, and it features two great comics creators. Everything kicks off with Richard Rivera, the creator of Stabbity Bunny. He gives us a big update on what's going on in the Stabbityverse, as I like to call it. And that includes brand new issues starting with number 7, coming out very soon, which he'll fill us in on. There's also a trade paperback if you haven't gotten the issues before, so you can get on board. And he's got some other books that he's worked on that may be making a return, which I'm looking forward to, and we'll get into that as well. Then everything wraps up with Sylvester Edmonds, the creator of Realm of Spirits, Birth of a Living Storm. 8 days before Moses was born, there lived a prophecy of 8 jewels of power given to 8 children of angelic origin. We talked with Sylvester about what it was like to get the book together and what the series might hold for the future. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. A word of warning, during Sylvester's interview, Skype had some troubles, and so you may have to turn the volume up to be able to hear everything that he's saying. But I did my best editing, and I hope you'll learn more about Sylvester's great book. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's always great to talk to Richard Rivera, the creator of Stabbity Bunny, which has been doing super well in the comic stores. How are you doing today, Richard?
I'm doing very well. And how about yourself, Wayne?
Good. Why don't you give us an update on the Stabbityverse and how things are doing?
Okay. Yeah, we've got a lot going on. Issue 6 just came out this last week. And, of course, Issue 6 is the last issue that we had already done before Scout. And so this brought all the readers, you know, together at the same point now. And issue 7 will be out in August. Before we go to issue 7, though, we are going to do a trade paperback collection. And that will collect issues 1 through 6, plus all those really awesome covers and exclusive covers that we had done. There's a total of 25 covers for the first 6 issues. And so that's a nice cover gallery feature we have in the trade paperback, and the trade paperback is just $19.99. So that'll be out hopefully in 3 or 4 weeks. And like I said, then issue 7, because the first arc is 12 issues. So we've got issue 7, issue 8. Now, I don't want to spoil anything on issue 7, but you know what? It is, it's been really fun, you know, getting back into producing the new issues. And, you know, of course, it's the same team is working on it. So we've got Dwayne Biddix, Liesl Buenaventura, and James Reed, the artist, the color artist, and the letterer, respectively. Mm-hmm. And we are really pleased with the way the issues are coming out. So we've got issue 7 coming out in August, then issue 8 in September. And something special about issue 8 that we have been sharing is that issue 8 will feature the two main characters from Shadow Play, a series that'll be coming out in January from Scout. And it'll also have, well, it has Grace teaming up with them. And we actually get a little bit of a glimpse of Grace when she's 15. So for those of you who've already read issue 6, you kind of know what the cliffhanger kind of reveal that we had, a really important reveal that we had. And part of that reveal figures prominently in that glimpse of Grace in the Shadow Play world. So we're looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And really, we've got a lot of things coming up. We've got San Diego, which will be probably happening as this post. Mm-hmm. And then we've got We've got some store signings coming up. We've got exclusives. We've got some local conventions we're really excited about. And, of course, you know, great opportunities to speak to different people's audiences such as yours.
Mm-hmm. So, number seven, do you remember what the description was that the previews has or anything about that? Trying to tease with tender without giving away anything.
Yeah, I don't offhand, except maybe I believe number seven talks about after the in the startling reveal of issue six that Stabbity Bunny finds himself locked away, mm-hmm. and that Grace is pleading his case, but that the mom, Amanda, will make the final call, and also that Glyph and Lena have a conversation. As we've hinted at before, of course, they have a history, and it would seem are maybe at odds due to the recent events, and trying to sort some of that out and move forward with the story.
One of the things I really like about Stabbity Bunny is that there's character development from issue to issue, and this time in number seven, it sounds like you're going to do some more with Glyph and Lena and some other stuff going on. I'm always glad to read that in the book because it's too many stories and too many books have characters that don't move anywhere, but you really make an effort to make these characters go someplace, and I like that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, we... There's so much about all of the characters that will never make it, you know, in the book proper. There's a lot of work done on all of the characters, a lot of their histories, their backgrounds, how they've interacted before or how they'll interact in the future. And, yes, definitely we try to keep the cast and the relationships there as dynamic as possible because they're an important part of the story and an important part of the outcomes as we go forward.
Now, I realize that this is going to come out on the Sunday that San Diego is taking place, but you're going to be selling issues of number six there?
We will have some copies of issue six. They will be two San Diego exclusives, however. Hmm. One is by the super talented Drew Moss, and it might be very familiar to fans of Pulp Fiction. And then we have another super exciting thing we haven't really done before. I mean, back when I was self-publishing, we did issue three. We did 20 blank variants for sketch cover purposes. But we actually have an official one. It'll be coming out with the San Diego exclusive. So hopefully, we already had quite a bit of interest in those issues. But hopefully, your listeners could still have a chance to secure one or two of those.
That'd be great because there's a lot of people who like blank covers. It gives you a chance to take it to your favorite artist and have that person draw a cover.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we tried not to rush everything out there right at the beginning, and I think this is a good time with issue six in San Diego to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be great fun. Do you know any other cons that are coming up this year that you're going to be at? You mentioned some signings and stuff. New York, maybe?
New York is actually still kind of up in the air.
Okay.
Possibly, and possibly at the very least at the Scout Table, appearing there for a number of hours to do signings, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I know Scout will have a table and have a presence there. So if nothing else, probably that. Mm-hmm. And then one of the more local conventions coming up here is in later August, in the Infinity Con and Toy Convention. And we're going to have a super exciting exclusive with them. Mm-hmm. As you know, we did our issue number one, and we did not do any reprints of that or second printings, but we did for issue two. And the Infinity Convention will have an exclusive, not only exclusive cover, but we will be doing another printing of issue one for them. So that's going to be really exciting.
Wow, that's a very rare occurrence to get reprints of number one.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we didn't want to oversaturate there, but I think it's been at that point it will have been 7 months since the first number one came out, so it'll be an exclusive, but also an exclusive with a printing of issue one. So it should be really exciting.
That'll be fun. That'll be great. Is that that's here in the Orlando area, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's in the Kissimmee, Orlando area.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a very nice convention, and we're really happy to be one of the guests there.
Great, great. That'll be fun. It seems like you're getting to be invited as a guest more often these days, and I guess that, some of that's had to do with the success of Stabby Bunny. Is that kind of a nice development for you to be able to go as a guest sometimes now?
Well, yes, of course. It was, you know, it's always a nice surprise if we get invited to a convention or get approached by a convention or get accepted by a convention as a guest. So it's been a great experience this year, and we've, you know, it really has helped, I believe, in the exposure department as well, and to keep that Stabby Bunny ball rolling there.
Very good, very good. So, let's see. As far as conventions go, we are pretty much up to date on that. So, you're going to be doing, is it 12 or 13 issues now on the first storyline?
It's planned as 12. Given some of the other developments that we're trying to maybe expand upon in the series just a little bit, it may go to 13, but it's a little early to make that call at this point.
Okay, very good. And of course, you've got story to go after that, too, is when we go to the second phase, you know, if sales warrant that. And at this point, I would say they probably do.
Well, yeah. Sales have been unexpectedly strong and consistent. And we've really been, you know, so happy with the turnout and the fan support and the store support. We've heard back from several stores that, you know, that this wasn't like a one or two issue hit wonder, that it's got legs and that, you know, they've got people that are excited for the series to go on and people that are, you know, subscribers, et cetera. So as long as we can keep providing a story for folks, we'll definitely try to get through the next arc as well.
Oh, boy, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Now, we touched briefly on Shadow Play. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because that's coming, what, January?
Shadow Play will start in January, and the artist on that is Clara Meath, who graduated valedictorian of SCAD. I have a co-creator on this, Alex Lobato, and of course he did Max Hunter, and he's done some other great stuff. And then we have the same color artist, because I always have Liesl try out, and she always gets the job. So, you know, maybe we'll find something that she's not absolutely perfect for one day, but that seems to be in the far future. And then we'll have James Reed returning as letterer as well. So on Shadow Play, we're currently working on issue 5, so those first 6 issues will definitely roll out in a consistent fashion. And unlike Stabity, where we had, you know, fans where we had already sold the first 6 issues, the only issue that will have been out, and it was actually a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive last year, will be issue 1. So as of February, you know, issues 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, et cetera, will be brand new to everyone.
Now, what's the basic premise of Shadow Play?
Well, Shadow Play, we like to say, could be a little bit like Harry Potter meets Stranger Things. And it stars two artists. One is a painter and the other is a sculptor. And they meet at the ninth grade art class during the show. They begin talking. And after they get to know each other a little bit better, it turns out that a number of the sculptures that he's done and a number of the paintings she's done have all been based on, or at least inspiration has been drawn, even though he's never seen this book, from an ancient handwritten leather-bound journal. And it comes out pretty early in the series, or certainly by that first issue, that her aunts dabble in magic, and he's in their study, and they're looking through some of the stuff there, and he interacts with an artifact there that maybe you shouldn't have interacted with. And as a result, he loses his shadow. Well, in the Shadow Play universe, the shadow that you have during the day actually has a spiritual essence and is tied to you. And when he loses his shadow, he basically has one day to get it back, or he dies. Now, the nighttime, the shadows are swept back to the shadow realm, and they've got basically 30 days in the shadow realm that takes place during one of our normal nights. So that gives them a little more time, and of course there's no time to plan or anything, so they do try to grab some camping gear and supplies and things that, you know, Bard has in his home, and they end up going into the shadow realm, and they're just gonna wing it. So they get discovered pretty quickly by some folks that appear to be trying to help them, but who's helping who and what are their motivations and what else do they get drawn into is most of the focus of the first six issues.
Okay, and this is all part of the Stabbityverse. It's all in the same universe.
Absolutely, yep.
That's going to attract some people, I think, because a lot of people, we've run into some people that are completists, and anything that has to do with the Stabbityverse, they seem to want to get that. So you might get some good response for that, I hope.
Yeah, we hope so. In the first six issues, we're kind of establishing them, and that series and the regular Stabbity Bunny series will sync up to where there's actually a crossover that'll happen pretty quickly.
Now, don't you have a mini-series coming, too, that has to do with Stabbity?
Not a mini-series, but either one-shot or quarterly, depending on how it's received.
Okay.
But it's called Stabbity Ever After, and it has absolutely nothing to do, except it does have the same basic characters, but it's kind of like an Elseworlds, because Stabbity is able to do things in Ever After that he is not able to do in the regular Stabbity universe. And it's kind of an answer to the requests or people who have expectations of a lot of over-the-top cartoony violence. So it's still all ages, to the extent that there's no language or no sexual situations. However, kind of like, you know, Looney Tunes on steroids as far as the battle scenes, et cetera, that go on there.
It sounds like a lot of fun. He said it's going to be quarterly, basically.
Well, it could be a quarterly. It really depends. We have Ryan Kincaid, who is the artist on this. We have several places we can go after the first issue. We'll just have to see if the audience wants us to go there.
Now, Ryan's done some covers, hasn't he, for Stabbity Bunny?
Yes. Ryan did most recently an Infinity Gauntlet cover.
Which a lot of people liked. Of course, the timing on that was so great. It hit the stands just about the time that the movie came out. And then you also had a Deadpool cover that came out about
the
same
time. The Infinity Gauntlet cover also features characters from the Wild Bull and Chipper universe, which is another series that Dwayne Biddix and I have worked on together, and we've already done the first two issues of that, so we're going to be fleshing that series out some as well, probably in the summer of 2019. But this will be the cover, will be the first time that any of those characters have appeared.
Oh, in the Scout Comics universe?
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be fun because I like that comic. It's very funny. It's a little bit of a superhero-ish tilt to it, and it's got some great characters and do some wonderful things. As always, there's lots of character growth in it and some wonderful characters in it. So I think that's going to be fun. So hopefully we'll get to see that for too long. I kind of missed that book.
Yep. We've got some fans. We haven't had a lot of people exposed to it yet, but a good percentage of the people who have been are eager for more.
Anything else that we should know about in the Stabbityverse or stuff that you're working on?
Not right now. I think that's a lot. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 series. So, you know, I do have my limits. But, yeah, I would just reemphasize again that it's the trade paperback will be coming out soon. And for $19.99, get all 6 issues plus cover gallery and get caught up on Stabbity Bunny before issue 7 comes out.
Sounds good. Well, much success, Richard. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to new issues starting with number 7.
All right. Well, thanks. And always great to talk to you, and look forward to coming back.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
It's great to welcome to the podcast Sylvester Edmonds, one of the driving forces behind Realm of Spirits, and the first volume is called Birth of a Living Storm. How are you doing today, Sylvester?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about how you're into comics. I mean, have you been a comics reader your whole life?
Pretty much. Let me see. Comics for me started in the 80s. I was a big Transformers fan. I've collected a lot of those, and then from there I moved on to a lot of Marvel comic books.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So let's see. So how did you decide you wanted to make your own comics?
Well, I've always been a writer at heart. Even back in school, I was always writing stories. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. It's how I relaxed during the day. Mm-hmm. And as I went on seeing, you know, cartoons of Spider-Man, et cetera, I began to think about writing my own comic book in, I say, 2007. So I did a lot of biblical research, like history, into, say, the book of Moses and the book of Enoch. Mm-hmm. With those being said, it talked a lot about the war in heaven. And I said to myself, okay, it taught a lot about Michael, Gabriel, and what they did on Earth to pit the giants of renowned size against each other. And then I just had this concept in my head and said, well, what if they couldn't come down to Earth to combat the giants of renowned size? I said, what if they had to have offspring to do that for them while they fought the war in heaven? Mm-hmm. So that there begun the story for Realm of Spirits.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Cause, let me read the description that you have on, I see it's on creatorsofwrittensins.com. You must have talked to Rob Anderson over there about that. It's 8 days before Moses was born. There lived the prophecy of 8 jewels of power given to 8 Hebrew children of angelic birth. The Pharaoh knows of the prophecy and plans to take the jewels for himself. Little does he know there are demonic forces at work. So correct. Talk about the, you've mentioned something that biblical things kind of interested you. And I'm interested that I see a lot more comics tending to at least touch on Bible stories and biblical topics. I guess the Bible, as far as stories go, that particularly interested you?
Yes. Oh, for one thing, I've always been fascinated with angels. Because if you really think about it, they are the first heroes ever written about. The very first heroes, long before there was a Superman, or Batman, et cetera, et cetera. There were, you know, angelic beings of supernatural strength and power.
So like creation, for example.
Exactly. Now, getting on the jewels of power, each of us has chakras within us, and these chakras do different things. Getting on my first story, which is Birth of the Living Stone, we have Hiroka, son of Archangel Michael. He, in his throat, is a jewel. With this jewel, he can pretty much control any storm there is. What else? He can take his flesh on and off at will, just like if it was dust. You ever heard that saying, ashes to ashes, dust to dust? He is pretty much living air, living storm. So if the wind blows, you know, his fleshy dust, you know, will pretty much just fly right off of him. Getting on to the next story, which I'm trying to do a pre-launch on through Indiegogo, is it's called Realm of Spirits, Blossom of the North Star, where we have Shemaiah, daughter of Archangel Gabriel.
She seems to be one of your popular characters.
Yes. Well, also getting back to Rob Anderson, he and I met actually for the first time at Awesome Con in March of 2018. And, well, we couldn't really see each other because he was off in another booth and I was at mine. But the real reason why I want to bring Shemaiah's story forward is because while I was there at the Awesome Con, there were a lot of young ladies and women looking at Shemaiah going wild. And I can tell that they felt empowered seeing her. That's one of the real reasons why I wanted to bring Shemaiah's story forward. But the good thing is, within that story, everybody will be seeing Shemaiah's spirit come forth before she is born, saving lives.
Now, she's one of the eight children?
Yes, she is the second to be born.
The second, okay. All right. You know, I looked at the paintings. I've got a question, of course. When it comes to Realm of Spirits, do you write as well as do the art for it? How's that work?
No, actually, I wish I could draw the writer for it. But I hired an artist 2 years ago. His name is Annie Hosh. You can find him on Facebook. He's a very talented artist. He and I have been working back and forth for the past 2 years on Realm of Spirits 1. Also, he and I have been talking, you know, back and forth, and we agreed on, you know, a set price to finish issue 2, which will not break anybody's pockets at all. With that being said, I have talked him into drawing one page for every $200 we make on our crowdfunding.
Cool. Interesting. So how many pages are in each book? Do you know how many each one's going to have?
Let me see. Shemaiah's story will have about 34. But what I plan to do is not only just have her single issue, but to also combine issue 1 and issue 2 into a 66-page novel.
Interesting. Now, not every Kickstarter makes it, and unfortunately, you had one recently that didn't get there, but I was reading where it actually worked out to that you were able to get the comic printed. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, not everybody gets their Kickstarter through, and what I read about your story, I was kind of intrigued, and I thought maybe other people might be heartened to hear what happened.
Well, that is true. I did fail twice. Only because of my knowledge of how to properly do a crowdfunder just wasn't there at the time. So lately what I've been doing is increasing my knowledge on how to do a pre-launch and how to properly give backers something in return. For instance, I'm having a 2 poster deal going on right now for about $20. You have the poster with Shemaiah standalone was with her, the lioness and the dove. And the other is with her and her youngest sister, Medea, who is the eighth jewel of power, but also she is the daughter of death. I have a deal with that going on very soon. Let me see. And also, I'm trying to see if people, sign up. I am willing to give the first 10 pages of Bertha Living Storm for free as a PDF.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
As soon as the crowdfunder gets started, the PDFs will be available for $2.
Now, notice you're going to Indiegogo this time as opposed to Kickstarter. The one thing I've always wondered why people don't go to Indiegogo is because whatever you earn, you get. You know, it's not Kickstarter, you have to get your goal. If you don't get your goal, you don't get anything. But Indiegogo, whatever you earn, you get. Is that why you're going to Indiegogo?
Pretty much. Just in case, you know, anything goes wrong, maybe there'd be something left that I can contribute to issue 2 of the comic. But I'm pretty confident this time that I will succeed.
Okay, now, what was it that happened? I was interested to get you to tell the story of, even though the Kickstarter didn't go through, you were still able to get the comic printed. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, after, you know, my failed attempt, I didn't want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep going. So what I did was I worked 2 jobs. I worked a lot of hours. I paid Annie Holsch, my artist, what I could each and every pay week until it took, you know, practically 2 years to finish.
Mm.
It took me a while, but, you know, I just did not want to give up. I kept going.
Mm-hmm. Didn't also the printer kind of give you some kind of a discount or something on the printing that helped you?
Yeah, there was a discount. I can't remember exactly what that discount was, but mm-hmm. I did get a discount on my first print.
Mm-hmm. I saw a picture of you when you got your first copy. You know, you were holding them up. And you had that feeling, I think, that every indie comics creator does. When you finally see it in printed form, it's, you know, your all this work and all this time and all this effort is now in your hand, and that's what it makes it a real comic. Talk about that. When you got them for the first time, talk about your feeling and what that was like for you to experience that.
It was pure joy. It was like the first thing in your life just actually waking you up. You know, it's like from day to day you just go to work and you're dragging. You feel like you have no purpose. But seeing the fruits of my labor being presented in my hands like that was just awe-inspiring. And it's that need to see more that just keeps me going.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I don't know if you ever get over that. I think every time an issue comes, you're probably going to get something similar to that feeling. It may not have the intensity of the first one, but you'll likely, when issue 2 comes, you'll probably sit there and just look at it and say, yep, this is what I did for all these months, and this is why I worked so hard to make this happen.
Right. There's another thing I wanted to mention when I was at the comic book convention.
Mm-hmm.
There was one little girl in particular that looked at Shamaya. Unfortunately, her grandmother could not afford to get her a poster. And I wanted to give that poster to that little girl so badly. I was trying to find a way to give it to her. So let me see. I just, asked my sister to watch the table for a second. And I just took one of the posters and I just walked around. And, you know, I just slid it to the girl. I'm like, here, this is for you.
Ah.
Because I just didn't want her to, you know, go away without feeling that empowerment. Because I could just feel she just felt heartbroken when she couldn't have it. And that is another one of the reasons why I want to get issue 2 out so bad. Because I want all those little girls and ladies out there to feel empowered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the artwork is beautiful, I have to say. I see the cover for, I think it's number 1, where there's like a glowing eagle, and then the I guess it's a prince or something, and you got a lion with the blue mane of hair and a horse on it. And those are all part of the story, and it's really kind of a very pretty paint. It must be painted. It looks like it's been painted by them.
I believe so. It's been digitally painted.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why you see those specific animals is because it kind of goes into their origin story, which I haven't fully written yet, but I don't mind telling a little bit.
Okay.
All these angelic beings are born on the Tree of Life.
Oh.
Their fathers, what they do is they pick from that Tree of Life who they want to be their host. To go down to earth. But not only that, each and every individual is born with not just one spirit, but sometimes two to three spirits, speaking and thinking as one. So when you see Hiroko with the lion, it represents his strength. You see the horse with him, it represents valor. And then thirdly, you have the lightning falcon that possesses all the stormy elemental powers that Hiroko presents. But at the height of his power, he is able to open up an entirely new universe. And that's why, is one of the reasons why they're all being hunted, especially him. Because if the demonic forces get their hands on him, they can open up a brand new universe away from God, pretty much.
So where does the story take place? Is this in Egypt or Israel? Where is this?
Yes, it takes place in Egypt 8 days before Moses is born.
Okay.
But as the story goes along, you'll see bits and pieces of Moses' story intertwined within. Because what I want people to see is not only this reality, but I also want them to see the spiritual afterlife that comes after death.
That's very good. I love the art. How'd you find the artist, by the way? Did you know him before? Did you see him online? How did you find him?
I found him while looking online. I can't remember the name of the particular company. Not right away in my head.
Okay.
Sorry, dogs are barking.
But you found him online anyway.
I'll try to look that up when I can.
That's okay.
The name was...
You found it online. That's not the important part. There's a lot of places to go. Facebook, you can do it. DeviantArt. A couple of other websites that people go to bump into creators. You know, if you're a writer, you're looking for an artist. You're an artist looking for a writer who has a story that you want to do. Those kinds of things. So online is... I mean, have you ever been in the same room as the artist?
No, I have not. I would love to do that. Oftentimes, I ask a YouTube video of himself drawing, and I can just, you know, edit it myself and just speed up the time. But unfortunately, I don't think he has a camera to do so.
I also help at an indie comic, and the writer lives in Florida. The artist lives on the top of a mountain in North Carolina. The letterer is in South Carolina, and the colorist lives in the Philippines. So they have never all been in the same room at the same time. That's why I asked that question.
But that is a twist.
I'm sure it's something you want to do, though. It would be great for you guys to be, like say, go to a convention together.
Yes. Actually, I wish he was at AwesomeCon earlier this year. Love to have him, man.
Okay, so was AwesomeCon your first con?
My first biggest con. My first one was in Southern Maryland, Comic Con. That was, I would say, I think I was 16, I believe. I do have some pictures on my Facebook website. Unfortunately, my website, Wicking Eyes Comics, is going to be down, so I am working on re-editing it.
Okay. Are you starting to do more cons now? Because, you know, conventions are where you make connections. You know, you talked about talking to Rob and other things like that. Because AwesomeCon is a great con. It's really, it's well named. And are there other cons you're going to get to this year?
Unfortunately, not this year.
Okay.
I would really like to, but what I want to work on right now is just bringing about more comic books for the fans and more posters. When I have that ready, I believe I will be visiting more cons. I would love to do what Rob's doing, like going cross country, that kind of thing, and doing cons. But unfortunately, right now, I just don't have the means to do so.
Yeah. Well, it takes a little while to kind of build that up and to get noticed so that you can do those kinds of things. But, of course, New York is one of the best ones. But AwesomeCon is definitely one of the better ones. So I think you, and of course, it's close to you, so that's a good thing. That kind of helps you out.
Right. Oh, speaking of which, I did have my first cosplay model at AwesomeCon. Her name was Lilith.
So people cosplay your characters up there?
A friend of mine, Mandy Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So let's see. Number one is out. How do people get a hold of the first issue of Realm of Spirits?
Well, right now, what they can do is email me at SylvesterEdmonds40@gmail.com.
At gmail.com, I believe.
Send it in, but they're only $5 closer to 10. I'm trying to keep it under $28 so not to break, you know, the bank on everybody. You know, just keep it, you know, nice and affordable. So just send me an email saying, hey, I'll take issue one. So PayPal invoice, and I'll have it out the next day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I believe, I'll start the launch for issue two this September, and it should be out by the beginning of December.
Okay, that'll be good.
At times it can get expensive, mm-hmm. but each time that you do it, it does get a little bit better because each and every experience is a learning process.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, we won't see you at a convention until next year, but hopefully it'll become available to you and you'll be able to go to more. Are you thinking about AwesomeCon again next year?
Most definitely.
Okay, well, maybe what we'll do is we'll get this up on the website and see if we can't get a little more attention with Realm of Spirits. And I hope it's real successful. And it sounds like this is keeping you pretty busy, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're good. Well, I wish you much success with it, and I hope that it all turns out real well and your Indiegogo is successful. And, Sylvester, you get to do other good things. I like reading biblically based stories, or at least tangentially touching on the Bible, so I think that's great fun.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because my plan is to read more biblical stories and to just have that historical Hebrew line just keep going and going and going. I like to do something big during the Roman saga. I can have a plan in mind to do that. That's another story.
Great. Well, keep it up. I'm sure it'll be great to read.
Oh, it will.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.